have found the Business Broker Growth Show with your host, Jason Cutter. This is the podcast for brokers who are ready to stop hoping for deals and start growing their pipeline. Our goal is to bring you strategies, stories, and insights that will be a catalyst to move you quickly from transactional deal makers to trusted advisors. Time for Business Broker Growth.
Hey everybody, Jason here with my friend Dominique Maddox, the restaurant broker, Mr. Eats broker. Welcome to the after show.
I appreciate it. You know, I've listened to your show and I'm like, there's no way I'm going to be able to talk 50 minutes. And that hour went by really fast. So I appreciate the opportunity to share my story.
You are very welcome. It's very easy to chat with you. I generally have that. I think it's an observation bias. I generally either attract people or reach out to people or have conversations that end up being valuable. I also think I've done this a few times, so I think I'm pretty good at asking some questions and kind of keeping it going. You make it easy because you have a lot of good stuff to share. And so not surprising, we went, 58 minutes or so and flew by in an hour. Like I said, I took lots of notes, but yeah, it's fun because you think like there's no way. I remember one time, just a side note, this is early on in my podcast guesting career. And I had the opportunity to go on the show. It was like hosted by this German guy, but it was all in English. He had a German version of the show as well. And I'm like, hey, why not? I just want to get my name out there for what I was doing in my book that I published. And it was publishing. And he had three time slots, 1 hour, 2 hour, and 3 hour. And I'm like, there's no way I can talk for 3 hours, but hey, let's try two. And I remember at 2 hours, he basically had to wrap it up because we ran out of time in our time slot. It easily could have been a 3 hour episode. And I kicked myself still to this day to not just like checking the box to the max and just seeing what happens.
See what happens, yeah.
Everybody knows me. I could talk about all kinds of stuff. We talk whatever you want. I feel like you're the same. And I want to give a shout out to Duran, the restaurant broker. You mentioned him. He's a part of your team. We'll talk about it here because I know you're excited about growing that and what that's focused. But you said you listened to this show. I know he was the one that found the show. I know he likes the after show. So Duran, I know you're Duran, the restaurant broker. I'm not going to leave
correct.
Out. I appreciate you listening to the show. Tell him about it. And also we connected some dots. So I just wanted to give him a shout out there. So, all right, let's jump into this, Dominique, the restaurant broker. First question, 5 years from now, 2031, right?
Yes.
What do you think it's going to take for business brokers, intermediaries to survive? Now I'm talking about success. I just mean survive.
Well, I hear most people say AI, and I agree with AI, but I agree with AI of helping AI use to tell your brand story, to help you lay out your brand story, how you want to deliver that to people. There's so many different ways to tell your brand story. So yeah, I use AI to get ideas of branding myself, but I think that's what people should really do is tell your story, be comfortable, tell your story so many different ways. So use the tools, use AI as your marketer, and let them tell you how to deliver your message. So that's one definitely way, because you want to stand out from the crowd. There's so many, and there's more people coming to the biz brokerage. How do you stand out from the crowd? How do people remember you? And it's easier for people to remember stories. And I realize that. So I'm big on telling my brand story, using AI to assist me.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting too. You talk about AI as the tool to help with ideas, and I think it's a great solution to counteract the blank canvas problem. That's what I call when you're like looking at a blank Word document, or I got LinkedIn staring at me for a new post. What should I write? And like all of a sudden, I can't think of my own name, and it's like now what do I do? Versus like having something. You just give me something to start with. I'll just for days. I'm good. Right. So I think that's valuable. And then also on the story side, if we think about it really for humans, right? This tends to be like a human psychology history type of podcast sometimes with me. We tell stories, we're visual, we know stories. Stories is what was passed down for a very long time before we really learned to write and read and document things, and before books were printed in scale. And so stories are what we do as humans. And so I think that's super important, right? Like a story brand as a concept, those kind of things, getting good at telling your stories. And I think what's interesting is I asked you what it's going to take for your brokers to survive in 5 years is telling a story is basically what you're saying, which is interesting because as technology increases, what's going to be left is the humans and the stories and the help that they need, right?
Correct. Yeah, no, I love it. And you nailed it on exactly what I was trying to say. I think it's just a good way for people to separate themselves from the competition. I know, because when I hear a lot of people try to use AI just for different tasks or writing papers, and I'm just like, use it as a guideline to build your brand.
So let's talk about the next question, which is technology-based. Generally, the question is, what's the number one tech shift coming to M&A? If you couldn't say AI as a tech shift for M&A, what would you say?
The tech shift that I would say is the way people use social media and the way people are using YouTube and how you're marketing yourself, how you're branding yourself on those different platforms. Mm-hmm. And then also, I'm big on writing blogs. I've wrote over 100 different blogs. So it's, how are you getting your name out there? So that's another big tech, because SEO is changing. Algorithms are changing. So you kind of stuck me when you said without AI, but that'd be kind of what I would say. It's how you're using social media, and then also, how are you advertising yourself? And like I said, one big thing I do is blogs, because it helps me and helps people find me.
Yeah, and I think what's interesting, because I had a guest on the show mention this as well, is he had somebody who basically validated them based on ChatGPT research and feedback, like came up as a broker. And I think it's interesting, if you think about like the stuff you're putting out there, SEO has changed, not so much about the Google search and all of that, but like, where is the AI that is people are using to search more and more versus Google? It's going to take in whatever you're putting out there, right? So it's this loop that's just gonna be a requirement. If you're not doing those kind of things at scale, you're not going to show up.
Correct. But also another technology, when I say social media, also forgot to put in LinkedIn, because I spent a lot of time on LinkedIn. We communicated through LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. And I think so many brokers aren't using that. Like, who in my network do I know that they can introduce me to somebody, or let me follow their information? And so I do a lot of networking on LinkedIn. So I think as a broker, to survive in this business, you got to be able to prospect and network in so many different ways.
I think so. I was going to say, I think so. Like, you have to have an approach that covers different bases, because fundamentally you have to meet people where they are, right? That CPA might be on LinkedIn. They might not be, right? Could be Instagram. Could be they find it via YouTube. So.
Correct. And I'm on everything. So, and I think if you're trying to be successful, you have to be on everything, but you also have to monitor the metrics of where you getting your listings from. Or where you getting your leads from, and make sure you spend more time on that rather than it's the 80-20 rule of where you spend your time at.
Yeah, I love it. When you look at last year, so let's talk 2025. I know one of them was Duran, the restaurant broker, coming on board. But what's the biggest lesson you took from 2025?
Stepping outside my comfort zone. I was big on, and then also you can grow faster when you bring someone along. I had been a one-man show for so long, and I was just nervous about bringing someone else on. It's like, you know, am I going to be exposed? Do I have enough listings? Do I have enough business? But I found when he accelerated my business, he made me actually work harder, because I'm like, I have to have something to show my broker. I have to be more motivated. I have to be out there. I have to put content out. I have to show him that I'm the leader and lead by example. I'm not just telling him this is what you need to do to become a successful broker. He's seeing me do it on a day-to-day basis. So being comfortable being a leader. And then also, like I've used the term before, being comfortable being uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. There's definitely been a lot of times as the lead person on the company, it's been uncomfortable. But I still got to show up. So that would be my big thing.
Before a seller ever speaks to you, they look you up. They scan your name, they search your LinkedIn, they read your last few posts. And in about 60 seconds, they decide whether you feel like a trusted advisor or just another broker. Most brokers never see that moment, but it happens every day. That's why we built the Digital Impact Assessment. It's a structured evaluation of how your online presence actually shows up in four ways: authority, positioning, visibility, and engagement. And if you want to know what sellers are seeing before they book a call with you, just remember you can't improve what you don't measure. All right, now back to this amazing conversation.
But I still got to show up. So that would be my big thing.
I love what you said, because it makes me think of something like when you're talking about bringing on somebody else new and what that does, right? The hesitation, avoiding it, and then doing it. And then this pressure in a sense that it does, you know, like they say, the best way to learn something is to teach it. Not that you need to learn the business broker side, but it's going to push you to like look at it, just like know it better and better and better. And then the other part, and I think this is a fascinating experiment, I catch myself remembering this and doing this, is imagine that you had a film crew following you all day while you worked. What would they see you doing? and this is the important part, how would you do things differently if you knew somebody was watching all the time, right? Versus we do enough, or we do the basics. And you know, when I get caught in that sometimes, versus like, if there's a reality show and someone's following you around.
Well, that's the challenge of this business, is because you don't have a set schedule. You have to really be your own motivation. And there's ebbs and flows in the day. And it's like, how can I get back on the saddle? If I get knocked down, how can I get back up? If a deal falls apart, okay, I can cry about it today, but I got to wake up tomorrow like it never happened. So yeah, there's a lot of that happens. The freedom of being a business broker is something that I like, but it's also a crutch for some people. It's also a challenge because some people can't handle that responsibility. So I'm big on blocking times. This is my prospecting time. This is my time that I'm working on my deals. And if you don't have like a set schedule or blocking time, it can be tough for you. One of the biggest things that bringing on Daron, the restaurant broker, has made me responsible for somebody.
Right? It's a big difference.
Oh, huge, huge. It's easy to lie to yourself. But when you got someone keeping you accountable, you're like, oh, wow, I really got to do what I said that I was going to do. I really got to block this day to create content. I really got to do this day. So it's made me a much better broker. And then also it realized how much I had to teach. Like, I like teaching the information to them. I like seeing the growth. So I'm excited about bringing someone on, another person on in the future, because now I'm past that fear of bringing someone on.
Yeah. So in that mode here, so let's talk about 2026. So this year, we're 3.5 months in to the year so far. But what are you excited most about this year? If you're listening to this and thinking, I want this level of authority, I just don't have the time to build it, that's exactly what Business Broker Growth does for you. Most brokers know that they need consistent content, better positioning, and real digital visibility. They just don't have the bandwidth to create it or the systems to keep it going. And that's what we build for you. The content engine, the visibility strategy, and authority signals, everything you need that we've talked about here. So if you want this impact without adding another full-time job to your plate, go to businessbrokergrowth.com to learn more about what it would look like for your business. Now back to the episode.
I'm excited to see where East Broker goes. I mean, I'm getting opportunities in front of different franchisors that I wasn't getting last year. My referrals are up from last year. I actually had someone contact me a couple of days ago, said they want to join Eats Broker. So I am looking at bringing another broker on this year and just seeing where we can also make the $1 million club for the third straight year under my own brokerage. So those are kind of things that I'm super excited about. But I'm also super excited just to keep my face as a restaurant broker. And also being a resource for other people to come talk to about this industry, because I love talking about this industry. I love sharing the information that I have, because I'm living in my why. I'm living in my purpose right now.
Yeah. And I think it's great. Like, I, again, going back to an observational bias, I have an observational bias because the business brokers that I'm generally exposed to, the people like you that come on the show, great brokers who want to share and have stories and want to improve others and educate and have kind of the, you know, like we talked about in the first episode, the scars, the battle wounds that, you know, in order to help other people. So I have this bias, you know, observation bias, because I see this and I generally work with really great brokers. But I forget about those others that are thinking about getting in the business, don't know about the business, or in it, but struggling, and, you know, where that impact of what you're doing, what you can put out there, that kind of content. So, you know, I think that's amazing. Last question, some marketing related.
Yes.
If you could wave a magic wand and have any marketing strategy tactic done automatically, just poof, you don't have to deal with it. What would you put in that category?
Getting sellers' email addresses and phone numbers. Like, yeah. If I could get that and be able to contact them when I want, because a lot of restaurant owners, they'll close the doors without even trying to sell because they didn't know that someone like me existed as a restaurant broker that could help them in their situation, or they didn't know that they can reach out to me and at least talk to me. So if I had a wider range of contacting restaurant sellers or restaurant owners before they close the door, that'd be the magic wand and let them know, hey, there is an opportunity for you to sell it. Why not try to sell? Why just close the door and just give your location directly to the landlord so they can lease it out to someone and take all your equipment? So that's my biggest frustration with it, is there's not enough knowledge of, hey, there's someone to talk to if you have an issue. If you have an issue and you want to exit your restaurant, contact a restaurant broker. So that would be my biggest, if I want.
And my magic wand on top of your magic wand would be for you to have all of that contact info and then the timing of using it 1 to 3 years before that person gets to the point of where they're tired or burnt out or life has taken a turn or whatever has happened. And so you could get their books in order and help them with a good strategy and help them finish on top. That would be my wish for your wish.
I would agree. And so I know this is a show for business brokers eventually that want to may get in the business, that are in the business. One big thing that I talk about is celebrating the small wins. Everyone looks at the big wins in our industry, but there's so many small wins that lead up to that. And that's how we start our mastermind meeting that I have with Drawn, the restaurant broker. Let's talk about the small wins. I know there's some big ones, but what's some things that you accomplish that might not be celebrated, but they should be celebrated? So as a business broker, I'll give you a small win. Hey, if you prospected to a seller and that seller contacted you 2 weeks later, that's a small win there that you need to celebrate. They could have contacted anybody, but they contacted you. You went to a networking meeting and someone says, hey, I seen your content online. I like that content. Celebrate that small win. So those are the small wins that I think people should celebrate.
My wife would attest that I am the worst at that. I am the worst at celebrating small wins. I am also not good at celebrating decent wins. Yeah. I might not even celebrate good wins. I don't know. I think that's great. And I think one thing to remember is that you can only control activities and actions and you can't control results. So you can't control that deal happening. You can't control the closing. All you can control is what you put into anything, the marketing, the outreach, the content. And, you know, those small wins are great because, you know, if you just wait for something to grow out of the ground to celebrate the harvest, like it's a long time waiting and you're going to give up the waiting. So you got to celebrate everything, right? Like, hey, like something, or you just made it another day, or, you know, whatever you got through your calls. So I love that you're, you know, ending on that one.
Yes.
That's good. For people tuning in, thank you for making it through the after show. For some reason, you like Daron, the restaurant broker, you like the after show more than the main show, or you find these and you get through these, please go back and check out part one, whether you're a broker, a restaurant owner, or a buyer looking to buy a restaurant. So much stuff, so much good value that Dominique, the restaurant broker, shared in the first. You got me so trained now. I got to do it every time. I'm going to charge you royalties for it, but I'm going to do it every time. This episode was not sponsored by Eats Brokerage, but it kind of feels like it is. Because I just love it. I love the branding, the personal aspect. I think it's important. Obviously, it's somewhat biased because it's what we do and help brokers with, you know, to get more of that out there. But I think it's super valuable. So please, people tuning in, check out the main episode. Dominique, the restaurant broker, all of your links will be in the show notes. They can go to eatsbroker.com. They can find Eats Broker everywhere. Everywhere that they can online, they can find you on LinkedIn. Again, thank you for being here and sharing so much, giving us even more time, more valuable information in part two.
I appreciate the opportunity to share my story.
Yeah, I think it's great. I love it. I wish more people would. I think it's important. And like you said, talking about the future, I think, you know, with technology and everything, what's going to be left is stories. It's going to be people's stories, because AI can make up stories. It can make up music. It can make up movies. It can do whatever it wants. But like, it's going to revert back, I think, into the human element and just human stories and the kind of thing that you're talking about and doing. So thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Appreciate this. I know this is an odd podcast. We're supposed to be talking about business, broker growth, and marketing. Here we're talking about life and the future. That's what we do here. Hope you got some value from this and enjoyed it. And remember, until next time, stop hoping for growth and start building your pipeline.
Thanks for tuning in to the Business Broker Growth Show, hosted by Jason Cutter. If today's episode helped you think differently about how to build your pipeline and grow your business, share it with another broker who's ready to make the shift from hoping for listings to engineering them. Join us again for the next episode of the Business Broker Growth Show, where brokers become trusted advisors.